Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is here to place a house call. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm talking to you from Eau Claire. I'm doing a whole budget tour on Badger Care expansion in four cities this week.
Look,
so that's in Eau Claire today.
There's something, there's so much stuff going on right now. And, you know, the Donald Trump thing notwithstanding, the breaking news that that George Santos has been arrested. And according to the Justice Department's official statement, the scandal-plagued congressman has been charged with 7 counts of wire fraud, 3 counts of money laundering, 1 count of theft of public funds, and 2 counts of making materially false statements to the House of Representatives. You know, this is something, Dr. Craig, that was tongue-in-cheek for a while, and even, you know, Congressman Santos, you'd see him laughing and joking, and you even heard, you know, Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, basically saying that, you know, in supporting Santos, and then he basically said that, well, if he's ever charged with something, we'll deal with it then. Your thoughts?
Well, let's see if they deal with it. I mean, Donald Trump, the whole Donald Trump experience back to 2016 and Access Hollywood tapes has removed my confidence that scandals are scandals anymore on the Republican side. So I think this will make George Santos not reelectable. I don't know. I'm guessing that can be that maybe even these MAGA House Republicans can actually have an ethics committee process regarding this. But who knows these days, because we don't know if the next step with Donald Trump, I mean, we've had him indicted on criminal charges, and now we've had him found civilly liable for rape, and it's not clear at all it's disqualifying. But probably George Santos doesn't have Donald Trump's superpowers. In other words, 25% of the American people don't identify with him so strongly that he's part of their identities and they won't give him up. I mean, Trump is kind of like a drug that a quarter of the country won't give up.
You know, Dr. Craig, the thing about Representative Santos is his vote alone can make a difference in some areas, right? I mean, there's a reason why Kevin McCarthy, knowing all the things that they knew about Representative Santos, basically did not want to, you know, face the facts because it was a vote that they needed. And so they're certainly not going to throw him under the bus immediately because they still need that vote.
Yeah, they have to make a choice. When does he get thrown over the boat? And it's a calculation of when does he harm their power more than he aids their power. Because we know, and they did complete projection on Fox News and among right-wing politicians when they claim that the left or Democrats are like this, they are the ones who maximize power no matter what, no matter, you know, what the ethical compromises, what the consequences. And we're seeing that with the debt ceiling debate led by Kevin McCarthy. And they knew it was clear that George Santos was not a legitimate member of Congress or person and very shady, to say the least. But they needed him to make McCarthy speaker, and they needed him for other votes. So maybe they still need him. And they'll just say, well, let's wait till the investigation is done at the Justice Department. It was not a foregone conclusion the Justice Department would move, because we've seen how slowly Merrick Garland moved on Donald Trump. So with the special counsel prosecutor he appointed, there seems to be rapid action now, but it started really late. So I guess we'll see. But the debt ceiling limit debate show, look, Biden is beginning to step up. Biden saying, I can simply decide by executive authority that the Constitution forbids you from that feeling this way, because the Constitution says, Earl, that you have to maintain the full faith and credit of the United States of America. And so the whole debt ceiling procedure is absurd. Congress already appropriated and spent this money. It's a matter of paying the bill. So incumbent Biden, that's what he should do if he, rather than capitulate to a ransom note as far as the debt limit situation. And that's what Tony Evers needs to do here in Wisconsin around the state budget, use all of his power, because they always do.
You know, Dr. Craig, you just talked about the fact that this provision apparently does give the president of the United States latitude to make decisions on the debt ceiling and what happens. And clearly, McCarthy is not going to budge. He clearly stated he's not going to budge. The American people still are not, I guess, informed enough, Dr. Craig, about the impact of this debt ceiling and the fact that we understand, why McCarthy, Senator McCarthy, is playing this game, and now he has Mitch McConnell, who's come back and he's supporting this. I guess somehow President Biden must have thought that Mitch McConnell was going to bring some sanity to this debate, but Mitch McConnell is clearly siding with McCarthy. If people really understood, Dr. Craig, the impact of what this is going to be, I was reading something the other day about the fact that Social Security checks, not just that, but. Social Security payments and many other things. That's a major issue for something that doesn't have to be that way, right? I mean, this doesn't have to happen. These people are drawing this line in the sand unnecessarily.
This is very much like, in many ways, the procedure in electing the president, where the vice president accepts the electors. It was simply a pro forma thing. It was not actually a decision. And then Trump made it into this lie that Mike Pence could reject, the result from the states, right, in the presidential election, which wasn't true. The debt ceiling was never used. It's been on the books since World War I. Yeah, the procedure in Congress didn't exist for the first 100 years over 100 years of the Constitution as congressional legislation. It was never used in order to force anything. It was just a procedural vote people took to approve money that they'd already spent, that had already been approved by Congress, appropriated is the term. And from World War I, when it was done by the Wilson administration just to help appease anti-war senators, including Fighting Bob La Follette here in Wisconsin, until about 10 years ago, it was never used that way. Mitch McConnell was part of starting to do that because this MAGA Republican Party has been developing for a while, and they saw it as potential leverage. It was never seen that way before. And now it's gotten worse because they got some minor concessions under Obama that were significant, and Obama should not have agreed to, in my opinion, but Obama wanted to move through that. But now it's metastasized where they're demanding complete wholesale changes in the whole American commitment on a whole wide of domestic issues, everything that's not defense spending or tax cuts for the rich, basically. And they claim Medicare and Social Security are exempted. They're not really. And by the way, there's a lot of things equally important as Medicare and Social Security. And so, quite frankly, Biden has a good point that this idea that Congress could spend the money and then not pay the bill is likely unconstitutional, because the Constitution says flat out it's an obligation of Congress and the president to maintain the faith and credit of the United States, and this doesn't do it. So I think he should use that power, even though it shocks official Washington. But then as far as people understanding, this is what Republicans exploit. They do disinformation, then they rely on the complexity of things in order to get away with things. And the media is doing a terrible job of explaining it, Earl. They're explaining it like a horse race. And it's not. It's much clearer cut. They don't even take on the idea of explaining to the public what it is, most of the media.
You know, Dr. Craig, the impact that it will have, and now based on this information that you are bringing out and others are bringing out about the powers that the presidency does have, if that was always the case, is this something that they uncovered? Because every year it was always the same thing with the debt ceiling. We'd go over it again and again and again. So are they just discovering now that the president does have this latitude?
It just wasn't necessary because the debt ceiling vote was not real. Was simply a procedural vote to confirm what they had already done. Just like the vice president accepting the electors at the end of a presidential election, was supposed to happen and did happen on January 6th, was just a pro forma thing. That would have been unconstitutional probably as well. There's nothing constitutional that authorizes the vice president to choose who's president, right? The vice president who serves under a president. So, and by the way, who knows what the right-wing packed Trump judiciary would do with it, but you know what? That's a problem we have to fix as well and use all our power, but then at least it's on them. It would be really clear to the public if this U.S. Supreme Court decides to crash the economy. So I don't think they probably do it because they know the consequences for themselves as an institution, because Congress has the clear constitutional power to limit their jurisdiction. And Congress should do that, actually, if it can't balance the courts out and make them fair courts.
Dr. Craig, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and his wisdom has joined us. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man?
Just peachy keen this morning. Beautiful day out there.
Yeah, it's always great to have you on.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to point out that this is a typical disingenuousness with the Republican Party, this whole debt ceiling thing. First of all, probably at least 3/4 of the Republicans who are now so adamant about the debt ceiling were in Congress when all this stuff was voted. And secondly, we're paying off debts that mostly came about with the $7 trillion or roughly 20% increase in our national debt that was racked up under Republican control when in the 4 years that Trump was in office. These people, particularly in Congress, aren't stupid. Well, there might be some exceptions like MT Green and Lauren Boebert, but they're not particularly stupid. They understand this. when they start talking about, oh, the Social Security, we pay out all this money, and it's, you know, we got to do something about the debt by law, at least from what I've read, by law. Not only is there money in the Social Security Trust Fund to pay for it, but by law, it cannot be counted against the national debt. So all these people have really got is let's try and disrupt government as much as we can, and that in my opinion almost since Reagan said that government is the problem, not the solution, which is not true. Ever since then, the whole purpose of the Republican Party has been disrupt and break the government and then blame the Democrats. So there's my rant for this morning.
Hey, Dr. Craig, you want to respond? Thank you, Jack, as always.
I like Jack's line. I want permission to steal it. It's their modus operandi is to disrupt and damage or destroy the government and then blame us for it and create a crisis, because they want to discredit government altogether, which really is a way to understand it, since this is a democratically elected government. They want to destroy democracy generally. So that is what this is about. And we need to connect those things. The government is not some separate alien force. It's ours. It's a question of whether we take it back or whether it's dominated by the ultra-rich and large corporations who benefit from the giant tax cuts under Trump for the rich and large corporations, and previous to that, they want the same thing under President Bush. And so that's why we don't have that. We're running up national debt, and they won't touch those. Right. This has to be slashing cuts of the programs average middle class and lower income with Americans rely upon. And let me just state on the debt ceiling, on the governor, on the president's authority. When I say that the Constitution says that Congress and the president are required to maintain the full faith and credit of the United States government, that's a complicated way of saying they're required to pay its bills, and Congress has now voted not to pay its bills, its own bills, as Jack was also pointing out, unless their ransom demands are met.
You know, Dr. Craig, they're playing this game, and it's so unfortunate that some who somehow agree with Republicans don't realize that it is they whose heads are on the chopping block. The average American who votes Republican and believes that they're in this and this whole thing is to prove a point for them and we're doing this for the American citizens, they don't understand. They can't comprehend that they're being lied to, and that at the root of all of it is the wealthy amongst us who have these puppets who are walking around and who are bought and paid for, and that they're the ones who are on the chopping block. It's the average American's head that's on the chopping block if the debt ceiling is not met, and yet you can have an argument. Or if you try to have the conversation with many, they'll clearly state that, hey, we're spending too much money. We've got to put an end to it, and we've got to put an end to it now. And don't realize that this is nothing more than public theater that the Republicans are attempting to do.
Well, public theater where, you know, the audience is damaged afterwards, right? It's not just entertainment. It's I guess it's the gladiators in reverse. It's the audience gets harmed, not the performers,
right,
which would be the Republicans. There's another comparison to the state, what's happening.
So Dr. Craig, hang on a second. Mark from Sussex will come to you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Stay here with me.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go to Mark from Sussex. Hey, good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. I can only suspect that it's intentional on your part that you're not reporting on the biggest news of the day, in that the House Oversight Committee found that the Biden family has created more than 20 companies, and they've received over $10 million. There's a money trail that shows this exact same thing, or shows that they have received over $10 million. So, again, I'm assuming, because it's bad news for the Democrats, that you're not going to report on this.
So let me ask you, if because you say that's the biggest news of the day, I think the fact that Donald Trump, a candidate for presidency of the United States, has, you know, is facing what he's facing. But I'll let Dr. Craig respond to you. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Mark from Sussex?
So it is an interesting question, though, Earl, is what is the assessment of news importance, right? I guess I would say crashing the U.S. and world economy and potentially creating a depression is a bigger story, which is what's going on with the debt limit. And a former president being found civilly liable for rape, and it's beyond the statute of limitation for criminal liability.
And soon to be a candidate.
Sounds like a very big story to me.
And soon to be a candidate for the presidency of the United States again.
Yeah, and it's a little hard to credit. Look, here's the thing with Hunter Biden. I don't know if Hunter Biden has committed impropriety. It's very, very clear the motivation for the investigation has been purely partisan. The right and right-wing media has been obsessed with Hunter Biden for power reasons, because they want to harm President Biden and the Democratic Party. But let's even grant that there is wrongdoing, and there could be. I don't know, right? Maybe Hunter Biden is shady. You know, does anyone really believe that the shadiness of Billy Carter meant that Jimmy Carter was corrupt? You notice how the caller said the Biden family. That's a nice little maneuver for partisan reason. There's no evidence of any connection to President Biden. Maybe they'll find it, but until there is, this is the investigation of a member of a family. And I don't even think it's fair to say, oh, President Biden should condemn him. What would we think of a father who condemned his son, even if the son had been convicted, right? I mean, parents are supposed to stand up for their kids and love them. And President Biden clearly loves his son. And if he was any of our sons, if we were lucky enough, then we should feel the same way. But we are, you know, not our children's keepers, so to speak, to reverse the old adage about our father's keepers.
You know, Dr. Craig, but to say the biggest story. So Mark, explain why that's the biggest story.
I said it's the biggest story that you're overlooking. Again, you wouldn't know that because it's a Democrat negative, and all you can report on is, again, I don't have a problem with them reporting on Trump. I don't have a problem with, but you completely overlooked. You don't even make a comment about the president of the United States creating 20 companies with his family and receiving over $1 billion. Now,
when was that confirmed? I don't know. When was that confirmed?
Okay, beautiful. Again, if you would listen or watch any of the other newscast.
I'm not watching the other newscast. I'm on the air doing a show right now. I don't know what they have on Fox News. You know?
It's on Fox News, and they came out with it, and it's clearly the start of something.
Well,
we already know that
Fox doesn't do news. So, you know, whatever it is they're doing.
CNN and MSNBC are the clear leaders of that BS.
Well, listen, man. You know, let me just ask you. I'll try one last time. So, when you see what has happened with Donald Trump, what are your thoughts?
I'm glad that he's going to be convicted. Okay. Now, I don't agree with this particular situation where 30 years ago, where she couldn't remember the day, she couldn't remember the year, she couldn't remember all of that other stuff. But I'm not a Donald Trump fan. In fact, he's got a lot of other lawsuits that are pending that are going to probably be worse than this. So don't put me on the whole Trump trail. I'm a huge Republican, but I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that he is doing since he left office.
Hey, Mark, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Dr. Craig?
Well, I think an honest evaluation of the Hunter Biden administration would have to look at the nature of this committee in the House Oversight Committee, and whether it is credible. It is packed with people who were election deniers, who supported treason, essentially, the insurrection in January 6th, and will do anything. You and I talked about how they'll do anything for power. And I think the caller thinks it's the biggest story because they're desperate to find something to harm their opponents, because they've been convinced their opponents are devils on earth, which is simply not the case. It's part of the paranoia that has been revved up on the right, but it's been become part of people's identity and their being. So there's no arguing about it. It's like arguing about, you know, someone's religion or someone's ethnicity, right? Someone who is brought up Irish, like President Biden, are going to be proud Irish. You're not going to be able to say, even if you wanted to, I don't know why you would, but someone might talk about what is the issue with, you know, Irish history and Irish culture, and there being issues with it. He'd be very defensive because you're talking about him. He's Irish, right? It's part of his identity. And that's the level of commitment that they have built up. That is why 25% of the population will support Trump no matter what. But there are people who are just partisan that way. So I'll take the caller at his word that he's not pro-Trump, though he was, you know, giving him some alibis there as well. But nonetheless, it sounds like it's the biggest news of the day. Anything that might be used against the Democrats as a weapon to defeat the enemy, period, without recognizing what his own side is doing to risk the whole world economy. I guess words don't quite describe the mayhem and the carnage and the mass unemployment and disruption that that not paying the nation's debts would cause, not just here, but to people around the world who have nothing to do with our political system directly.
Tom, go ahead.
Just real quick, the Trump family, Jared Kushner, $2 billion, who was actually a part of the administration. Again, if Hunter Biden did anything, he should be convicted. Okay, everyone in the Republican world, that's the point of the Democratic side. We actually agree that that the legality ought to go forth for people that are in legal trouble, and nobody is above the law. But what I wanted to say is that this whole thing is a strategy since 1973 or 1974. It's Jude Wininsky's 1974 to Santa Claus theory. And everyone should go to Google and look up Jude Wininsky's or just to Santa Claus theory. Because what it is first, when the Republicans control the federal government, and particularly the White House, they spend like drunken sailors. And they run up the U.S. debt as far as possible. This produces three results. It stimulates the economy, thus making people think the GOP can produce a good economy. It raises the debt dramatically, and it makes people think that the Republicans are the tax cut Santa Claus. Then, when the Democrats get in power, the Democrats go ahead and when the Democrats in the White House, the Republicans scream about the national debt as loudly and frantically as possible, freaking out about our children will have to pay for it, and we have to cut spending to solve the crisis. They force the Dems in power to cut their own social safety net programs, thus shooting the welfare of the American people, Santa Claus, for years.
Tom, man, thank you. Wish we had more time. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Yeah, I think that's a great reference there. And I'm going to go back and look at Jude Winitsky's article. And I could even say, also shooting themselves in the foot politically, the Democrats, because if they can't protect Social Security, Medicare, food assistance, then why would anyone want to return them to office? Who's within the Democratic coalition? And in fact, they should be held accountable to go further. There are holes in Medicare, right? Coverage holes. Social Security is not sufficient retirement program now that corporate America has destroyed old-fashioned pensions, for example. And 401ks are a Wall Street instrument that frankly,
aren't
doesn't
working.
Make a whole lot of people
no,
secure of a huge percentage of the population.
You know, Dr. Craig, it gets to a point or comes to a point where you just continue to see these things, and clearly our government is not working. And I don't see any ways in the near future that it's going to work. How much longer can the government or the people or our nation continue to function in this capacity? I mean, we got to be coming to a point where there's some permanent damage that we're creating because we've got this standoff of one side that says, we don't care what you say, we don't care what kind of damage we do, but we want to be in charge. I was reading an article the other day about them saying that the United States Supreme Court, it might be 2060 before Democrats can ever get charge of that again. I mean, we're at a horrific point in time, Dr. Craig. Give us some hope where, you know, we can see some changes, because I don't see it.
Well, we got to stop. You're making a great point, Earl. We got to start making government actually work, not just say what we want to achieve, and then, unfortunately, too often not actually achieve it because of Republican subversion, because of rules like the filibuster.
Right.
So everything that makes government look like a mess and chaotic and unworkable actually supports their side, because they're the ones that want to drown it in a bathtub, to quote Grover Norquist. And everything that makes it look that way harms us, because we're the ones on the Democratic side that want to use our democracy to solve the country's problems, to address climate change, to make health care a fundamental right, to create a jobs guarantee where everyone has access to good living wage jobs, which is what most Americans want and most people who came here over the decades
and
generations came
and deserve,
here for
yes.
and deserve and have a right to. And so obviously people should have to work hard in order to get the really good jobs they want, but no one should be in a position where they can't get any decent job and they're on the streets or they're being evicted and they can't pay for a basic human right like medical care, which is where we are. So the hope is that the Biden administration, in the first term, it's really hard for people to see because it was chaotic the way it was done. The media coverage has been terrible. The right has lied about it over and over again. But this was the most successful domestic 2 years since the early Johnson administration. I mean, the American Rescue Plan was the best rescue plan that's ever been done during a major national crisis like a pandemic, and really kept a lot of people afloat and kept the economy afloat, and is still leading to record levels of employment. The bipartisan infrastructure law was the first major investment in infrastructure in decades. We need to do more because this country has been becoming a third world country in terms of infrastructure. When we have first world resources, we just gave it away in tax cuts rather than spending it on shared prosperity.
Hey, Dr.
And the
Craig,
Inflation Reduction Act, Earl.
Dr. Craig, hold the thought.
Is huge.
Dr. Craig, hold the thought. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, the frustrating part about all of this and seeing and saying that our government is not working is that it works when it comes to defense spending. And both parties can come together when it's time to spend a large chunk of the tax base for war. And yet, you know, the wealthiest nation on earth, when it comes time to saying what we can't afford, all of it is because we spend such a huge sum of our money on military, and both Democrat and Republicans can agree to that. But when it's something like, can we afford to continue to pay Social Security and Medicare? Well, I don't, can we continue to spend money in education? We can't afford health care for the American. No, we can't afford. But so that's the part of it, Dr. Craig, that, you know, you see that. And if they can agree, both of them can agree on paying and continuing to spend the money that we spend on military. The other part of it, I just can't comprehend why the people themselves don't have more value than this thought that, hey, the world's coming after us and we got to make sure we protect the American people or our borders. But as far as helping the American people, the individual citizens, we can't afford that.
Yeah, there are two black boxes in the federal budget that are where the problem is in terms of if you want to look at overspending, and where are no one goes there. Obviously, the massive tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy right. that have gone back decades, not just Trump and Bush, though Trump did the biggest ever. Biden's the first president since the 1960s to actually take it on. He supports and has been promoting a billionaire's tax and will run on it, and also further corporate taxation. In this debt crisis, they have no plan for that on the right from the Republicans because they want more of that. Now, the defense budget, it always gets mischaracterized as there's going to be cuts and stuff that will make us unsafe. But that's just the bureaucracy putting that forward to defend itself. It's not even audited, the Defense Department. Right. It's the only major area, pot of money that's not. It's huge. Republicans want to expand it further, and a lot of it doesn't make us safe at all. It is boondoggles for big weapons manufacturers, or it is pork barrel politics for individual districts that happen to have bases or other military installations. And it's got to stop. But it's not so that we can give the money back to corporations and the wealthy, the people doing well in our economy who took most of the gains of the last four decades. It needs to be invested in the country. We could have a guaranteed child care beyond guaranteed health care, right? We could actually address the climate crisis in a way that created a green revolution that prevented runaway climate change and created unparalleled economic opportunity that we've not seen since the post-World War II period. This is all within our means, actually, and instead they want to do worse. They want to cut the very marginal social safety net we have left, which itself is not much of a safety net. I mean, this is a fishing net with massive holes in it, right, that is tattered and not been repaired and they've been cutting away at it with scissors to make it worse for quite a long time now. And then that's too much, they're telling us. That having the meager food assistance we have large numbers of people who are food insecure and hungry in the richest country in the world, is stunning, and they want to make it worse. As for an example, you go up and down the line. We don't do enough for our veterans. It's amazing right. how we like to fight wars and build weapon systems, but we don't need, and we like to honor the troops in terms of saying something to them in public,
The way to honor them is to take care of them after they serve the country. It's just like when they were honoring the essential workers with banners, but not raising their pay and making their living working conditions unbearable. That's not honoring them.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's so frustrating when you see that maybe one in two, retirement, people who are in retirement and elderly in this country are hungry. And the answer that we get from the Republicans is cut the WIC program. You know, we have to cut welfare. Never mind that the elderly are doing all that they can. The cost of living and other things they've worked their lives, and now in the last stages of their lives, in their American citizens, instead of allowing people to make sure they have a hot meal every day until the evil consequences of time take them away. We've got people arguing, well, we need to cut the WIC program or whatever the name of the program is because, you know, we can't afford it.
Look, Earl, I mean, the Republicans here just cut 545 things in the governor's budget, including Badger expansion, child care, paid family leave, right?
Yes.
A whole lot of other things. Mental health for kids in schools. They love to have hope and prayers and say there's a mental health problem, not to actually try to address it. That's why I'm out running around the state this week. I was in La Crosse yesterday, Eau Claire today, Wausau tomorrow, Green Bay the next day, because we're inspiring the grassroots and all of our members across state to push Governor Evers to fight, and Biden's being pushed to fight. That's why I want to commend Biden for saying that he will, if they really lead us to going over the debt limit and not paying our bills, that he will take care of it anyway because the Constitution forbids it. I applaud Governor Evers for vetoing the vile shared revenue proposal put forward by the Republicans. He announced he would, and I want him to do that for more elements of the budget to force a negotiation so we can get things like badge care expansion, paid family medical leave, a good shared revenue package as fair and meets the state's obligations, the cities and counties, and so on. And so good funding for our great university
Dr.
system
Craig.
That is now our UW system.
Dr.
That
Craig,
is funded. So
sorry,
thanks,
we got to leave it. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.